Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
If we had a show called Old School, we'd have booked Mike Jackson. This is Georgia Wrestling Now with your host from the award-winning Wrestling with Pop Culture, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Thank you. That is Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And it was a pretty exciting weekend for wrestling, I would say. At the risk of having a conflict of interest, I will talk about the Wrestling with Pop Culture anniversary party on Friday night. It was a lot of fun, and Monstrosity Championship Wrestling crowned its first champion in the Phantom. We saw an amazing street fight between the Wolfman, Alabama Wolfman, and Kentucky Wolfman against Dragula and Johnny Danger, Johnny Van Helsing Danger. And the feedback I've gotten has been nothing but positive, so I would say that's a success. But there were many other shows, and it looked like some of those were also impressive. So, lots to talk about, I suppose.
I suppose so. Yeah, I was around for Monstrosity, which that street fight was just a thing of beauty. it was just gorgeously done, and you know, the action was in the ring enough and outside the ring enough that everybody got their money's worth. Everybody could see what they needed to see, and when you finish with a wine bottle to the crotch, that's always going to leave an impression.
An impression, at least, for the Kentucky Wolfman.
A neutered Kentucky Wolfman. Dragula reigns supreme once again, and then followed that up with the Porterdale festivities Saturday, which was, I'd say, highlighted on a show that had a lot of highlights with the returning and surprise entry into the tournament of Jeter, who just destroyed Pumpkin Breaks. And then, as fortune would have it, he matched up in the semifinal with Supernatural. Let y'all drink that in for a minute and think about that disparity. But as Supernatural somehow finds a way, he did reign victorious. And it took a double stomp on a chair and an unfortunate miss by Jeter, which he ended up knocking himself out with the chair to put him down. And then that was, you know, and on the other side of that, that match had a lot of craziness and ultra-violent, juxtaposed with the other semifinal, which was Shane Marks and Freddie Ahai. So you can imagine how that went. And through treachery once again, Shane Marks prevailed, so they've set a final for that thing as well. And then
is that on the 16th?
That will be on the 16th, yes.
Okay.
An early start time, so nobody can be hindered drinking on St. Patrick's Day. You can buy your beer and be ready in some of the places around here where you can't get it on Sunday. And UIW crowned some new tag champions. So it was a banner night for one Shane Marks. He goes to the final in one place, leaves there, and then goes wins a tag championship with Casey Kincaid and the others. So, a strong weekend for both of those gentlemen.
Yeah, and then there was also the Peach State Battle Bowl, I believe, was this mm-hmm. weekend. And I understand Rick Michaels emerged as the new Peach State Wrestling Alliance Heritage Champion.
Another one in the collection.
Well, we have a caller. Let's see who we've got. Thanks for calling Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this?
Am I unmuted?
You're on.
It's none other than the most controversial Georgia ring announcer of the year, Dan Masters.
Dan Masters.
Did not see that coming.
To what do we owe the honor?
Well, guys, I wanted to hop in and say congratulations to someone that hasn't always been my favorite referee personally, but definitely the most established, the most professional, and the best referee in the state of Georgia. Congratulations to Jeff McGowan, who is making his way to Las Vegas this weekend. I don't think the cat's out of the bag, so I'm breaking the news here first. He will be a part of WOW Women of Wrestling this Saturday, the Eastside Cannery in Las Vegas.
Oh, well, how did that come about?
Well, when you've got talent such as Jeff's, and people know about it, you get opportunities, and this is his. So WOW Women of Wrestling is this Saturday. He'll be one of our officials in attendance. And for those that want to keep up with WOW, of course, they can always like us on Facebook, and there'll be pictures, I'm sure, of Jeff's center ring come this Saturday.
All right. Well, is he refereeing specific matches, or do you know yet, or is he doing the whole show?
I think we've got 10 matches scheduled as of this time. Things change on a daily basis, and he'll probably have 5 to 6 of them.
Okay.
I bet whoever the other referee is glad somebody else is coming. 10 matches would be a long haul.
Well, we're taping television this Saturday. We did so on the 19th of January, and our building holds about 1,200. I'd say we had 8 to 9, so we're looking for the full house this time around, and we're taping it and hope to secure a television deal here in the States. Internationally is nice, but until you get that domestic television, it's what we're all fighting for. So we'll see if we can make that happen after this Saturday.
That's a pretty decent carrot to dangle if you got 800 or 900 regularly and you're in Las Vegas refereeing for a bunch of women. That don't seem like you'd have it too hard to get somebody in there.
When you not a bad place to work when you're surrounded by the most beautiful women in the world on a daily basis, and the numbers are in your favor. So it's going to be fun. I look forward to seeing Jeff and keeping up with the Georgia team. Listening to you guys from week to week. Larry Goodman won't return my phone calls anymore. I don't know what happened to that. I guess Rich Tate got in his bed. I would have said ear, but you know how those guys are. Things up in here. Pictures. Rick Michaels sent me some photos, and now I'm really worried.
What?
No, I love him, and I'll tell you what, since I did throw that out there as a jab, but it's not. I love Rick Michaels to death, and I'm glad to see he's doing well. I read the reports on GWHnews.com. And if there were a chance to get a gear maker and someone else out here on a big-time budget, it'd be him, because I think he's absolute best as he can in that field, and I'm proud to see that he's back in the ring on a weekly basis.
If I know Rick Michaels at all, he'll take that call.
Yeah.
I love Rick. I have for years. I tell you what, when I was just a kid and started managing, I think I was at Wildside once or twice with a tag team, the Southside Trash. I was maybe 13, 14 years old. He was there. He's always been good to me, and I really appreciate his work. He's fantastic.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling
Listen,
in and breaking that news.
Can you guys work something out where you take over that website and get rid of Rich and Larry Goodman? Because, I mean, they're not really doing much of anything to push the website these days. I think Jonathan Williams should take over the GWHnews.com.
I've got my hands full with my own website, so I don't know. But if the opportunity came up, I would not be.
I mean, let's just be honest. None of us like Rich Tate. We never have. He came up with a good idea and kind of dropped the ball pushing it. Larry Goodman came in briefly and did some cool stuff, but now he's falling apart. I don't know what, if he's on a binge or something, who knows? He doesn't return calls for days. He's got that Paul Adams influence in him. He and David Young, the Three Stooges there. I love the show, and I'll keep listening. Tonight, one of my favorites, as I'm on a roll promoting people, Francisco Chiatsu, the absolute most talented guy in Florida, the most traveled. If I were brothers with Wardell Walker, he'd just be the top of the list for me. So look forward to hearing that later.
All right. Well, he will be on in the second half of the show. And he's doing a lot down in Rampage, where you were before you got the big job in Vegas.
I watched Rampage this past week. I try to watch it every week when time permits. I like Brad Storm's energy. I think he could be a tad bit more focused on what he's putting across in his openings and such. But, no, I watched the program this past week. They're still doing some great stuff there. If they could just get that crowd, if they could just get that building, and why on earth would the hard camera be facing no audience? I'll never figure that one out. If you watch that show, that TV, you see Rampage Pro Wrestling banner. You don't see any fans. Who puts their hard camera to the wall?
Well, I guess maybe it's just free advertising they're giving themselves. I don't know.
We'll figure that one out. Anyway, guys, take care. Look forward to it. And Jeff McGowan, if you're listening, see you Saturday.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
And we've got another caller that may be in response to that, so let's see
who we've
got
now. I thought just maybe.
In response to that.
There he is.
Larry Goodman. I think...
What a backstabber. I talked to that guy 15 minutes ago, told him I had a work call that I had to do at 7, and I wasn't going to be able on the show. Then he comes on and rips me, knowing that that I can't respond. After all the times I put that guy over, and then he rips Rampage that gave him a shot and put him on the air when nobody wanted him. Amazing. Just amazing. No gratitude whatsoever.
Well, I think he's still here. Dan? No? I guess not.
Yeah, weenie, now he's gone.
He did a drive-by.
Yeah.
That is the show. That is the format we prefer. Get in and get out.
Well, on a similar note, he works for Women of Wrestling, and I think the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling documentary is now available digitally, and it'll be out in DVD form soon. I'm supposed to interview the filmmakers for Wrestling with Pop Culture sometime this week, so that'll be up on there. Dan may have liked to have seen that on Georgia Wrestling History, but I don't know. He took a lot of shots there, didn't he, Larry?
He was scattershot there. You know, what he didn't say was that the WOW show that was going to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, has been pushed back. They are running Vegas, but their other show has been, not that they aren't going to do it, but the date has been pushed back. I believe it was supposed to be, the 23rd? I could be wrong about that, but whatever that is, that got pushed back. But I don't want to disrupt the show here because if I can finish up what I was supposed to do, I like to call back and talk to Chiazzo when he gets on the air. He's one of my favorites, so I won't disrupt the proceedings. But I will say that the Peach State show, I don't know about what those guys do, but they keep drawing 300 people again.
Mm-hmm. No matter what building they're in.
Yeah.
Does not matter.
No. So.
All right, well, feel free to call back in when we have Francisco Chiazzo on and go finish your work meeting or whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
How to do.
I'll catch you guys later.
All right, thanks.
All right, later.
And we have our first guest who I introduced sort of, I guess it was about a month ago. Her name is the Ukulady. And she is a children's show host of sorts. She, if you go to I believe it's theukulady.com, she has videos, she has a CD out. But the reason I wanted her to call is because when she was in town about a month ago, I met her at Abdullah's House of Ribs and Chinese Food, Abdullah the Butcher, that is. And I believe she's going to post that interaction sometime this week. So I figured she might want to call and talk about it. So let's welcome the Ukulady.
Yay! Hello, me!
The Ukulady is probably fairly obscure for our listeners. So why don't you, I'm sure you can do a better job of describing who you are and what you do than I just did. So why don't you tell us and our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hi, everybody. Wrestling enthusiast. I am a musician, video maker, comedian, entertainer of all sorts. I'm developing a kids' television show. I have an album for kids out. But I'm also a pop culture enthusiast, a folk art enthusiast, a world traveler, and I like to make interesting videos about interesting places I go to and post them on the interweb. So that's a little bit of what I do. Music, entertainer, comedian, writer, all-around enthusiast of life.
All right. And how did you end up at Abdullah's Restaurant here in Atlanta?
That's a great question. Well, I was out in Atlanta doing some casting. I do casting in my spare time. And I was working with my good friend Andrew Rieger of the band Elf Power from Athens, Georgia. And he said, we've got to go have lunch at this place called Abdullah's, the Butcher's House of Chinese and Ribs and Chinese food. And, of course, I couldn't, I mean, what ribs and Chinese food together in one location, it sounds amazing. Add the element of a 1980s wrestler, and then add the element of he's like the most violent, known as one of the most violent wrestlers, and he's, you know, it was ridiculous. So I was like, of course, we must go. We must quest for the rivery / Chinese food restaurant because we got to eat company lunch every day. We had lunch on the company's dime. And so we quested out there, and it's truly, it's the most incredible place. You drive up, and it's bright pink. I mean, it's a rib and Chinese food restaurant owned by Abdullah, the wrestler, that is pink. He had to, it's incredible. And so we went and had lunch there, and it was pretty great ribs, pretty bad Chinese food, but the ribs are quite delicious. And while we were there, I guess we sort of stuck out. And the clerk, the clerk essentially just called Abdullah cold on the phone, on her cell phone, and handed the phone to me. And Abdullah was like, what are you doing in my restaurant? I was like, oh, my God, I'm enjoying your ribs. And he was like, well, if you want to interview me, I'm happy to make an appointment. And, of course, I mean, I was thrilled. I was totally thrilled. I was like, I didn't really even know who he was, so I Googled him. But I was like, well, yes, how weird. I'm in Atlanta eating ribs and Chinese food. I want to interview Abdullah the Butcher. And so we made an appointment. He came down the next week, and you were there, and it was incredible.
Yeah, he wasn't all that nice to you. I don't know how that's going to turn out.
I thought he was so nice. I thought he was super nice. I thought he was, like, he was so friendly and kind. He was just putting on his little wrestling act, you know. He wants to keep the theater going, the theater, you know, the wrestling theater. But he was so, he was super nice. I felt like he was my grandpa by the end of the visit.
Right.
You know?
Well, he started out choking you, and then you did your little heart, what do you call it, your heart thing you do with your hands?
Friend heart. He made a friend heart.
Yeah, you got him to do that, and then he came around. Then he was okay.
Yeah, I mean, we warmed him up. At first, he was ready to resort to his usual blood and violence, but then my adorability and enthusiasm for unicorns and poodles rubbed off on him, and he was like, total friend heart, rainbow unicorn, shiny pony. I was like, yeah. So, yeah, I'm posting. I mean, I finished editing the video this week. I'll post it. That place was amazing. Did you have a good time?
I did, and that was my first time actually having ribs there, and they were delicious.
They were good. Yeah, they were delicious. They were tender and moist. Did you have the Chinese food?
I have not had Chinese food. I've been there one other time, and I had, I believe, fried chicken and more of the soul food stuff.
How was the fried chicken?
The fried chicken is good. The mashed potatoes are really good. The green beans I think I had were great.
Yeah. The Chinese food wasn't so great.
No?
No.
Well, I hope he doesn't hear you say that.
I know. He might beat me up. He'd have to come out to California. But I'm from San Francisco, so I'm like a total Chinese food snob, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I was surprised that, like, he didn't have very many reviews on Yelp, and he, you know, people don't really know about this ribbery and Chinese food hut. And I feel like it's a destination. You know, if you're going to Atlanta, you have to go there.
Right. Well, I heard that when WrestleMania was here a couple of years ago, they sold out of ribs at Abdullah's.
Okay.
So I guess
like it's not just for wrestling enthusiasts. It's for everybody.
Right. So people can find this on your website later this week or sometime soon?
Yeah, let's see what day is it. It's Monday. I will definitely be posting it by Wednesday. I'm going to get to editing it now. So Wednesday, it'll be on my YouTube channel or my Facebook. I think Facebook will be the easiest place for people to find it, which is facebook.com/theukulady, T-H-E-U-K-U-L-A-D-Y. And, of course, you will put a link to it.
Of course.
It'll be at my YouTube channel, which is my name, Cecily Lerner. Sorry about that. I dropped the phone. So yeah, it'll be there, and it'll also be at my website, theukulady.com, theukulady. That's a hot scoop, Jonathan. Neat. What's going on in Wrestling Mania in Georgia?
Wrestling Mania in Georgia is running wild.
Yeah. You guys wearing unitards?
I don't wear a unitard, but I also am not a wrestler, so I have seen wrestlers in unitards, though.
I feel like when you do the show, though, you should honor the wrestlers by wearing a unitard.
Well, I wear a luchador mask.
Okay, that works. That's good. Good. I was a little sad that Abdullah didn't come costumed. You know, he wasn't wearing anything special.
Yeah, well, I just showed up because you and I have a mutual friend who told me to come have lunch at Abdullah's, so I had nothing to do with all that. Maybe
right, you're
with
not
a little more planning.
Dude.
I don't know if he still wears his headdress and stuff in these days.
You know, it was impressive that he came out, because he's an older gentleman, and, you know, coming on out was not always easy to leave the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Well, what else do you have coming up?
What else do I have? Well, my new album for Kids and Humans is out. I'm actually chit-chatting with a production company in Atlanta about potentially teaming up to try and sell my television show. That would be amazing. That's a seed in the wind that perhaps will fruit. And what else? Videos. I have an animated video that should be out in a month called Campfire Vampire, which is about a vampire who hangs out around the campfire and what you can do to deter him from sucking your blood, which is wear a garlic juice-soaked turtleneck or a scarf soaked in garlic juice. So that should be coming out in the next month. And until then, I'm just continuing my enthusiasm of life and the adventures and planet Earth.
All right. Well, you have a sidekick that I think is interesting.
Oh, yeah. My unicorn
dog. Talk about that. The what?
The unicorn dog. I work with my sidekick / bandmate / roommate is half unicorn, half corn dog, half dog. His name is the unicorn dog. He's super magical and fantastic. He also plays the ukulele. And in my kids' television show I'm developing, we have adventures throughout planet Earth. And all the adventures we have, every episode culminates into a song that we write and perform via animated music video. And actually, a puppet of the unicorn dog is being made. Might be done in the next month or two. He's kind of like Kermit the Frog, but, but you know, he's from that planet. He's made of felt and foam. He's super cute. So that's the unicorn dog. I also have a bunch of other puppet friends who I hang out with. Dr. Steve Chicken. He's a PhD knower of all things. I have a cupcake and swizzle stick puppet friends. They are desserts who teach friendship and interpersonal communication. And I have to go, I have evil sandwiches, evil sandwich friends. My band, besides the unicorn dog, also consists of a bunch of evil sandwiches who are the minions of Velveteen Evil Witch, who is the ruler of planet Earth. She's a megalomaniac, and she would be great in wrestling, actually. The wrestlers would love her. She'd take them down. She has giant fluffy hair, and her evil sandwich minions do her bidding, and she teaches kids how to rule the universe by, like, brushing their teeth or tying their shoes or being fearless and such. I also have a friend named Astrid Strudelman. She's the unicorn whisperer. She talks to unicorns. What? And they talk about recycling and how to save planet Earth, because the unicorns know all things. And then I have breaking newscasters, Miss Carrot and the Peas, who will probably be introducing the Abdullah video, because they break all news. So that's a hot scoop from Ukulele Land.
I think there needs to be some wrestling in your world.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think Wrestling is exciting. I think probably the Evil Sandwiches wrestle on the side. Like, they work for Velveteena. They're in my band, but, like, to sort of let off steam, they wrestle.
Yeah, well, you need to have some of those matches on your website.
Oh, my God, that's a great idea. Evil Sandwich wrestling matches. Oh, my God. And they could wrestle, like, evil burritos and other evil lunch wraps. Oh, my God. I'm writing this down, evil wrestlers. This is what happens when minds, great minds, come together.
They could have food fights.
Oh, total. Hello. Oh, my God.
Books itself, oh, don't
I don't know if my co-host Matt Hinkins is, he may be completely confused by this point.
Are you? Do you have my album? Did you listen to it?
I have it in my car.
Just ride around listening to this?
The reason I brought up Matt Hinkins, though, is because he's a member of Team All You Can Eat, so all this food talk is probably interesting to him.
Stop
I
it.
Feel
Team All You
Can Eat. Like I've dropped the ball here because I couldn't join in on the rib and Chinese food. Question, and I'm really, really wondering what a sandwich has to do to become evil.
Mayonnaise. If it's slathered in mayonnaise, it is an evil evil sandwich.
Yeah, fan of these evil sandwiches then.
Yeah, I hate mayonnaise. What have you eaten a lot of, Matt?
Most things, as it were.
Pie.
I go with pie. There's a great place here called the Pie Hole, oddly enough.
I've been to the Pie Hole.
If you try to get directions there, the OnStar person will give you the business.
What does that mean?
They don't understand when you say, yeah, I'd like directions to the Pie Hole. They think you're just being an ass. I'm like, no, seriously, I want to go to the Pie Hole. And he was very effeminate and very black, and it led to a hilarious discussion. Pie Hole, you trying to go to the pile? Yes, sir. I would very much like to enjoy some of their delectable treats. Wait, you saying pie hole, right? Yes, P-I-E, hole, pie hole. Ugh, I don't know, but here your directions is enjoy your pie.
I love pie. I wish that I had gone to the pie hole when I was in Atlanta. Where is the pie hole?
It's in Roswell. The northern suburb of Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I know where it is. I drove all over and went to Treateries, and I didn't make it to the Pie Hole. I'm disappointed. But I think I'll be back.
Did you have the sweet potato pie at Abdullah's?
No, I didn't. I looked, I eyeballed the desserts, and I thought about getting the cake, but it kind of looked subpar.
Yeah.
Did you try it?
I haven't had any dessert there. I was curious, since we were talking about pie.
Yeah.
Matt,
I'm
have you ever been
sure.
to Abdullah's?
I have not. I don't. It seems blasphemous to even say it, but I have not.
Well, no, I can't believe it. If you're a wrestling enthusiast and you're a champion eater.
Well, I'm scared of black people, so that kind of dampens the spirits down there. I have to be prepared to go that deep into the city.
And it's okay for him to say that because he's half black.
Oh, okay.
We're not going in that direction.
Well, it's really welcoming. It's pink. It kind of, I feel like it's a Mary, it's like a Mary Kay or Barbie hut. Like, it's so shiny and it's like a beacon of light. Because the neighborhood is definitely funky. Like, I stopped at the gas station and I was like, yeah. You know, some toothless folks. And but the river is just glorious. A beacon of light and joy. You'll love it.
Yes. Matt, I think we should go there sometime soon.
I've got a schedule. We've got to get that on the schedule.
Well, you guys can call Abdullah and go down. He will make you purchase an autographed picture of himself, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Require
he
it. But it's only $5.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll steal it twice the price.
Yeah, it was totally worth it. And he autographed him and he sat down. See, once you get him in the restaurant sitting down, like, he's not going to leave soon. Like, he was ready to be there for hours and hours and hours. So it's definitely worth it if you want stories. And you guys should go down and take a little field trip and do a show from there. I bet he'd be way into that.
We should broadcast live from Abdullah's one night.
Do you have the number?
I have it. I have it. I think you gave it to me.
Yeah.
But I mean,
sure
a number to the restaurant, I think you can get him pretty easily just by calling and asking for Abdullah.
Yeah, you guys should broadcast live. I'll call in. I'll write a little song for him.
All
as
right.
Long as
well,
keep a fork out of his hand, you should be okay.
Did you see the giant fork? The giant fork is fantastic. He's so fantastic. He's a great person. I love him. He's just a wonderful man, quite frankly.
Well, we look forward to seeing how the video turns out, and I appreciate you calling to talk about food and evil foods and lots of stuff that we normally wouldn't talk about on this show.
Really? You should always talk about snacks. In fact, I'm going to go eat cake right now, handcrafted leftover birthday cake.
All right.
You should, well, you should talk about cake. Thank you for chatting with me. It's been lovely.
Of course.
And weird.
And enjoy your cake, and maybe we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a great day, you guys.
All right. You too.
Meet to the downfall of evil. Farewell.
I guess now we'll take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to the King of Florida, Francisco Chiazzo.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first party you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Matt Hinkins from Team All You Can Eat. And now we are being joined by our second guest of the night, which is Francisco Chiazzo. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Thanks for having me here tonight, man. How you guys hanging in there?
Doing all right. I guess you've got a lot going on, but first and foremost, you have a tag team title match at Rampage this Sunday with Drew Adler as your partner, and you're taking on Murder One and Corey Chavis, the current champions, Blackout. And you've been involved in that whole war against Blackout for a few months now. So tell us a little bit about that. What do you expect going into this match on Sunday?
You know, I had a quick conversation with Drew Adler about 3 or 4 days ago about this match, kind of, you know, going over what we were looking at you know, heading into this match and, you know, and so on. And, you know, both of us know what Corey Chavis and Murder One are about. I've known both of those gentlemen, and I use that term very, very loosely, for a very long time. Corey Chavis I've known since he was Rain Man back in the day when Anarchy was Wildside, and he was coming down going head-to-head with, you know, the IPW crew in Tampa. So I know what those guys are about, and they're double tough. They wouldn't have the Rampage tag titles if they weren't. But you know, myself and Drew Adler are forced to be reckoned with in Rampage. I proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that I belong at Rampage Pro, and I belong at the top of Rampage Pro. Myself, along with Mike Taylor, Drew Adler, and quite a few others of Team Rampage are going head-to-head with Blacklist, and we're going to see to it that we're at Rampage Pro, Blacklist, and everything they're about.
All right, well... Yeah, like I said, it's been going on for a while. And do you see this ongoing conflict? Do you see any resolution for it? You know, it seems like it's just going back and forth. And
not anytime soon, man. I mean, it's getting pretty heated. I mean, guys are getting into it in the locker room. They're getting into it, you know, when they're showing up. Referees and security are on edge. You know, every second, you know, the 3-hour show the Rampage puts on every 2 weeks. They're at Johnny G's Fun Center. And, you know, I know from what I understand, I think a couple cops were called a few weeks ago on AJ Steele. So, you know, these guys are taking it really, really far. I mean, you know, I've been on both sides of the fence in the professional wrestling business, but some of the stuff that guys like Corey Chavis and Murder One and, you know, AJ Steele and Wardell Walker and some of those guys are doing is out of line. You know, it's one thing to want to win and want to win at all costs. It's another thing to try to, you know, purposely go out there and maim somebody and end somebody's career and you know, and so on. You know, guys got families, you know, they've got, you know, lives outside of professional wrestling, and, you know, to want to maim somebody or purposely go out to hurt somebody is something I don't take lightly, which is why Micah Taylor asked me to join Team Rampage. I've known Micah Taylor for a very, very long time. We were at WWE's developmental together in Deep South. And he knows that while he and I aren't the best of friends, we never are, never were, never will be, he knows what I'm about and I know what he's about. And, you know, he asked me to be part of the, you know, Team Rampage, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Recent Rampage debut was just a few months ago. Had you been there prior to that?
No, I hadn't. I'd always read about it, you know, online and, you know, followed a lot of the stuff that, you know, a lot of the guys were doing. I always heard great things about Rampage Pro. Unfortunately, my schedule didn't really allow me to head up there. Some things freed up with some other companies that I finished up with, so it allowed my schedule to, you know, free up the dates every 2 weeks to head up there. So when I was contacted by the Rampage Pro office, I jumped at the opportunity. The TV they have there is great. The crowds are great. And Warner Robins was one of the few towns in, you know, between Georgia, Florida, Alabama that I hadn't been able to wrestle in. So, you know, I definitely jumped at the chance.
Did you expect the engagement to be this long and this involved, or were you just thinking maybe you'd just go feel it out and see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just, you know, I really didn't know what to expect when I showed up there. You know, I kind of showed up there with a different attitude, you know, and, you know, I quickly realized, you know, who the guys were that I needed to have on my side. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And, you know, while, again, you know, my eventual goal is, of course, you know, the Rampage Pro Heavyweight title, you know, I got my short goal set on Rampage Pro tag titles, myself and Drew Adler. We're not going into this match, you know, taking it lightly by any stretch of the imagination. But at the end of the day, we're going in to win. We're not like Blacklist. You know, we're not going to maim anybody or hurt anybody. You know, if we got to do what we got to do, then it's fine. And it breaks out, we'll fight or, you know, whatever the case. You know, Drew Adler can handle himself, so can I. So at the end of the day, we are going for gold.
And Murder One and Chavis have been together in various incarnations, seemingly forever. And you're kind of going in it with a young guy and a guy that you might not know a whole lot about. Have you had a chance to kind of check out what Adler does so you can kind of know how to tailor this match?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been watching a lot of his matches on YouTube. We've had several conversations over the phone. The last time I was in Albany, Georgia this past weekend for South Georgia Championship Wrestling, we met at a Waffle House, consequently, and, you know, kind of had a quick conversation there off I-75. So, you know, it's definitely something that we've discussed and talked about and so on. And, you know, granted, we are going in, and no offense to Drew Adler, with a handicap because, of course, you know, he is fairly new you know, to professional wrestling and so on. He doesn't have the experience, of course, that I have and so on. And for all intents and purposes, not even close to the experience of a Murder One or Corey Chavis. So, you know, I'm definitely going in knowing that we've got our work cut out for us. But I've got all the confidence in the world that Drew Adler, and he's got all the confidence in me. I'll make sure he's protected. He'll make sure I'm protected.
You mentioned working for South Georgia, and I know you mostly work in various promotions in Florida as well. And I know, weren't you there for the steel horsing incident? Weren't you part of that show?
You know, I had a feeling somebody was going to bring up this. So I was just waiting. It actually took me like longer than I thought it was going to take. But which actually pops me. But nonetheless, yes, I was there. Tommy Taylor is actually one of my really good personal friends. I was definitely there, and I've seen a lot of things in professional wrestling. I've seen a lot of things. I mean, but I've never, in umpteen years of traveling between the United States, England, Puerto Rico, China, Dominican Republic, I mean, Mexico, everywhere that I've been, Dominican Republic, so on and so forth, I have never, ever, 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 ever heard anyone calling the police because they got hit too hard. I mean, I'm still, even now, I'm dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded over the whole thing. I mean, when I've got guys like Scotty Riggs and New Jack and, you know, all these guys, and I'm going to drop names all over the place, you know. But, you know, when I've got guys like that texting me and calling me going, what in hell are you guys doing in Florida that you're allowing these idiots to get into this scissor ring to begin with? And I didn't know the guy very well, Steelhorse Bashan or whatever the hell he was calling himself. I didn't know him all that well. I'd seen him in passing. You know, I've been on a couple shows with him. I know that he came through the 3D Academy. I myself have gone to the 3D Academy and worked out a few times, and I know how they train their guys, and I know for a fact that that's not how they train their guys. You know, when you got guys like Sam Shaw and the Bendejos and, you know, all these guys coming out of the 3D Academy and getting shots with TNA and so on and so forth, and this Yahoo calls the cops because he got punched in his eye. Last time I checked, this was professional wrestling. It was supposed to be tough. I mean, yeah, you get tagged in the eye, you get tagged in the mouth, you get tagged in the throat, you get, you know, chairs thrown at your head. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be tough. But, you know, this guy looked like one of the toughest guys I've ever seen. And if I walked into a bar, and I can handle myself very, very well, but he, just by looking at him, you would walk into a bar and go, I probably don't want to mess with that guy. You know, just the way he looked. Yeah. But he was as soft as a marshmallow. I mean, Tommy Taylor is at best, and this isn't a shot at Tommy Taylor, but at best, he was, at the time, he was about 195, maybe 200 pounds, tops. His dum-dum was 6'5", and 280, he looked like a corn-fed mule. This guy was enormous, but he was a soft as a marshmallow. I swear to God, I've never seen anybody get dropped so fast and cry like, I don't know if I can curse on this show, if you guys can bleep it out, cry like a little bitch. And holding his eye when he walked to the back, and I was like, well, what happened? It's somebody, you know, and he just grabbed his bag and stormed out, you know. And next thing you know, cops are showing up, and I'm standing there half naked. Two police officers walk in. I was like, well, what the hell's going on? I was like, what did I do now? You know, and the cops were like, wow, somebody, I thought somebody got hit in the crowd. That's honestly what I thought. That was my first thought. And then the next thing you know, the cops are taking pictures with us and telling us it's the most ridiculous thing they've ever heard in their life. And then, of course, me and Corey Chavis take a picture at Rampage Pro, and it goes viral. And, you know, Tommy Taylor became an instant sensation, you know, because of it. And hopefully his name was out there enough to where he'll end up getting a job because of this dumb thing. And, you know, it'd be really great to see something good come out of this crap because, I mean, this guy was the biggest pussy I've ever seen in my life.
Has anybody seen or heard from Steelhorse Bashan since then, as far as wrestling goes?
Not a word. I heard he wrestled for some, he was like the Bronx wrestling, I didn't even know they had pro wrestling in the Bronx. I mean, they barely can buy like milk and stuff in the Bronx. So I don't know where they have professional wrestling in the Bronx, but he was there, and he was the Bronx heavyweight champion. So that and 50 Cent probably won't get you a cup of coffee, but nonetheless, he was the Bronx heavyweight champion, so I guess they brought him back. And he defended the Bronx heavyweight title, from what I read online. But other than that, no one's heard a word from him. I'm pretty safe to say he moved to, like, the moon. Because, I mean, he can't show his face anywhere in Florida.
Yeah, or anywhere where there's a wrestling ring, I would imagine.
Yeah, anywhere, except for the moon.
That story got a lot of attention, but it seems like every other week there's some crazy story coming out of Florida. You had the Cahagas incident and this thing and that thing. Is Florida just off the rails right now, or is it just kind of...
Don't be blaming Florida. That's not Florida's. Don't be saying, oh, Florida's crazy, and what this and what that, because, well, yeah, we're crazy. I mean, we're insane, but it's, you know... honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the moon's in line with Venus. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I was there for the Cahagas incident. You know, him and Bruce Sampson. You know, I was there for that. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the fucking catalyst for all this crap that's going on. So, but no, I was there for that too. And I remember Bruce calling me the night before going, I'm going to hurt him. And I was like, oh, no. You know, because, I mean, I can't stop Bruce. I mean, Bruce is... He's a monster. He's nuts. I mean, he's a certifiable maniac. I mean, what am I going to do? You know, I mean, the last time he went after somebody in the locker room was this guy, Sal Homoy, who runs FIP. And I remember wrapping my arms around his waist, and he dragged me about 60 yards, you know, and I jumped on his back like a spider monkey, and he just kept going. So, I mean, I was just like, all right, well, I'll just stand by the curtain, make sure nobody jumps in, and make sure you don't tell nobody, you know. And next thing you know, everything broke down, and the locker room was split in half, and there was things getting thrown and people getting thrown and cops called again. This time I think fans called the cops because they heard all the commotion and cursing and things getting thrown. So yeah, I was there for both of those. That was good times.
Well, I actually didn't mean to go off on that tangent completely. I was getting around to asking you about some of the other promotions you work for, and then it occurred to me, oh yeah, you and Corey Chavis were at that show, I believe.
Yeah, believe it or not, we were, you know, at the time, you know, we were both, you know, we were doing a lot of traveling together and so on. So we were right by Bruce's side, believe it or not, you know, making sure that, you know, nobody jumped on Bruce and made sure Bruce is taken care of. So, you know.
So what I was getting around to with when I was bringing up the other promotions you work for in Florida is you've got a lot of stuff coming up aside from Rampage and so what else you got going on in the next few
weeks? I work for Ring Warriors down in South Florida.
Right.
We're doing a lot of things you know, down in the Miami area. Their shows are pretty big. We've got been to the Bahamas twice for them. Their shows are always top notch. Howard Brody, Larry Lynn Brandon, and Chris Nelson, and Paul Jones run the company. And it's just one of the most professional companies I've ever wrestled for. Another company, my home promotion, Vintage Wrestling of Florida, right outside of Orlando. It's in a town, it's in a city called Sanford. They've been running for roughly about 3.5, going on 4 years now. And they were taken over by a couple of gentlemen. Jean Willis and Maximo Miranda, and they took it over from Billy Wood about a year ago, and the company's just flourished since then, drawing good houses, a lot of new faces that are being brought in. In fact, they're going to be, from what I understand, bringing in, you know, quite a bit of Georgia talent as well, from Rampage Pro and so on. I worked for started back working for FIP, Full Impact Pro, for Sal Homoy, who I was talking about earlier. My partner, Michael Zaki, as a former WWE Tough Enough contestant, we go to Brooklyn Shore. We'll be debuting for FIP. I work for USWA in Jacksonville, one half of the USWA Tag Team Champions with Simon Says, the Circle of Disrespect. What else do I got going on? PWX, Circle of Disrespect there as well, with Simon Says. We're the PWX Tag Team Champions. We've got a... pretty big match, rematch actually, going against the Headbangers, former World Wrestling Entertainment Tag Team Champions. This is their second shot going after our tag titles. And of course, Rampage Pro, South Georgia, you know, Championship Wrestling. Got a couple tours hopefully coming up in, you know, Russia and going back to China in the fall. I won't let too many cats out of the bag with that, but that's pretty much all I'll say about that. Definitely trying to go back to the Dominican Republic. For Dominican Wrestling Entertainment, Rico Casanova's group. Just trying to stay as busy as I can and keep my name out there as much as I can because, just like any other, you know, form of entertainment or you know, whatever the case may be, you know, you're here today, gone tomorrow. So when you're hot, you've got to keep at it and, you know, not let up because there's always somebody chomping at your heels, you know, wanting to take your spot. And, you know, it's always your spot to lose, you know. I also work for FUW also, Florida Underground Wrestling. I don't want Dante Brown to get all mad because I didn't mention him too. So I'll get a text message at 3 o'clock in the morning from some strip club in Tampa. Why didn't you mention me, brah? Why didn't you mention me, brah? So I think I hit everybody. I'm sure I screwed up something and didn't mention somebody's name. But nonetheless, that's in a nutshell. I pretty much, you know, work anywhere between seven to eight shows a month right now.
Wow,
yeah, that is quite a bit.
You mentioned Russia in that, correct? I heard that right.
Yeah, Russia and going back to China. First tour of China I did in 2004 in Yingzhou, China, right at the mouth of the Pearl River. I believe that this tour might be heading to Beijing, but I'm not really certain. They've only given us limited information on what we're doing and so on. So I don't really know a whole lot other than the fact that the tours are being put together. So.
What is that like? I mean, people think of Japanese wrestling and, you know, some of that area, but what is China like to wrestle?
It was insane, man. I mean, it was crazy because, you know, one of my dreams had always been to go to Japan. So, you know, I mean, I guess that was kind of the closest that I had gotten to Japan. So but I had the opportunity through, I mean, they kind of look the same. I mean, the food's kind of the same, but nonetheless,
uh-huh.
I'm sure I'll get heat for that too. So whatever. but nonetheless, Howard Brody, who consequently runs Ring Warriors, one of the co-owners there, set up the tour to Guangzhou, China, in 2004. Contacted me about a week before. I wasn't the first choice. I was a replacement for someone that was actually going to Japan. They took a tour to Japan instead, so I got the. I, of course, was a replacement, which was fine with me. The money was incredible. They took really good care of us. I was over there for, if I'm not mistaken, I think I was over there for 3 days, and seven days, did three shows, three press conferences, and one day completely off. They met us at the airport, Chinese delegates. They met us with these, they called them supermodels, but I'm not big in Asian women, so they weren't really supermodels to me, but nonetheless, They showed up with flowers and had our names written in Chinese and in caravans, and we did a press conference that day. It was Terry Taylor was there, Chris Hamrick, myself, Lex Lovett, God rest his soul, Dr. Destiny Williams, a bunch of guys from like Mid-Atlantic, ended with Mid-Atlantic or something like that. Years ago, were on the tour. I can't remember everybody that was there, but Jeff Bradley also from Tampa, IPW area. But it was crazy. We did a press conference the first day in front of like 4,000 people. You know, we come out, and I mean, we walk out of the hotel. We were staying at the Fifth Century Hotel or something in the middle of the city, and walk out, and there's this sea of Chinese people, like for as far as I could see. And I guess they were, of course, saying our names in Chinese, and they would tell us when to step forward. And the people were just going crazy for our stuff. And, I mean, we wrestled in front of anywhere between, in each building, or actually there were stadiums, they weren't closed buildings, anywhere between 6,000 to 8,000 people, you know. And this is just, for the most part, you know, independent guys, you know, with, you know, Dr. Death and a couple, you know, Terry Taylor, a couple of those guys thrown in. But for the most part, it was independent guys. But it was the first time live pro wrestling had ever been to Communist China. So they were, I think the Chinese government said, you know, go or die. So they ended up going, you know. And it was crazy, man. It was absolutely crazy. I mean, it was like a dream come true to be over there, you know. We got taken care of really, really well. So I'm definitely looking forward to going back. And Russia has always been a dream of mine. I've always wanted to go to Russia. I've always been fascinated with the, you know, with the Russian culture and really, ever since Rocky IV, believe it or not, I've always been fascinated with the Russian culture. I've always wanted to go and compete over there, and so now hopefully I get my opportunity. You know,
We've got Larry Goodman calling back. I think he wanted to ask you some questions.
Oh, I love Larry Goodman.
Well, I love Francisco Chiazzo. Hey, I, if you've already covered this, forgive me, but I just wanted to ask you a question about your time in Deep South.
I was actually getting to that, so go for it, Larry.
Well, I mean, I, obviously during that time period, Bill DeMott was a controversial figure there, and I just wanted to get your take on Bill DeMott, your experience of him when you were in Deep South.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, people can say what they want about Bill DeMott. I know there was a couple dummies that wrote letters, you know, to John Laurinaitis and Vince and everybody that would listen. And, oh, Bill DeMott was tough on us, and Bill DeMott squatted us to death, and Bill DeMott did drills with us to death, and he's mean, and he yells at us, and he's so mean. And you know what? Bill DeMott did nothing but good things for me. He looked out for me. I was a non-contracted talent. Myself, Crew Jones, and a very select few others were allowed and had the privilege of being able to work there and trying to get a job with Deep South. Bill DeMott got me my first, you know, my first two WWE shots, and always looked out for me. He would show up to Deep South Arena anywhere between an hour and 2 hours earlier to give me his time, and he didn't have to do that. You know, I was non-contracted talent. I was showing up on my own dime, making sure, you know, that I was there and dressed appropriately and so on and so forth, but he made sure to, you know, to be there a couple hours early just to look at tapes and go over my matches and tell me what I was doing wrong and right and really kind of groom me the way he wanted me to learn. So I've got nothing but good things to say about Bill DeMott. Was he tough? Absolutely. I mean, was he a difficult man to deal with? Yes. Was he insane? Yes. Well, here's a crazy thought. Everybody in professional wrestling is crazy. That's what makes it professional wrestling. And again, and I said this earlier, last time I checked, we're supposed to be tough. So, you know, guys like, you know, Dick Murdoch are rolling over in their graves going, where did these cream puffs come from? You know, yeah, you got to do squats and you got to do push-ups and you got to be in shape and you got to be tough. And, you know, but that's, you're trying to get a job with a multi-billion dollar corporation. You know, they're not going to invest money in you if you look like a bag of shit. And these guys that wrote the letters were bags of shit. You know, and the one guy, I can't even remember his name. His name just resurfaced. He's a tall guy, but he's a freaking marshmallow. And the other one was, Mikey Bats, I think, was the other dum-dum that wrote a letter, you know. And he was another soft, you know, fanook. So, but as far as I'm concerned, Bill DeMott is a class act to me. He always took care of me, and I've got nothing but good things to say about him.
I remember you was one of the only non-contract guys that got promo time on TV.
Yeah, I was one of the only ones. It was they treated me like a contracted talent. And when I had my first Fed shots, believe it or not, I got paid on the road like a contracted talent. I was on the list with the contracted talent. I traveled and stayed at TV hotels with the contracted talent. Myself and Crew Jones, I think if I'm not mistaken, were two of the only guys that were left that were allowed to compete. Oh, Antonio Mastri also from the West Coast were the only guys that were allowed to compete, you know, at Deep South. You know, they would bring in a couple guys here or there, but, you know, I was at TV every single Thursday. You know, I didn't have to email Jody Hamilton or Bill and say, hey, am I needed? I was required to be there every single Thursday, you know. And I was treated just like I was, you know, part of Deep South.
Well, a lot of the guys that were there with you in Deep South are now, you know, big stars in WWE. Do you think you might ever, have you ever heard from
them
since then?
Thanks for making me feel like crap. I appreciate that.
I didn't mean it like that.
I'm just messing with you. No, I'm really proud of a lot of the guys. In fact, it's funny you brought that up because one of my really good friends, and I'm going to drop another name here, MVP, I know him as Antonio Banks. I just saw him down in Miami for Ring Warriors, and I came up with him at Deep South, and he became a huge star. You know, I was there when he cut the promo. I got him his job. You know, and I'm real proud of him and what he's accomplished. Festus, of course, I know him as Freakin' Deacon.
Right.
You know, he went on to be a huge star in WWE, and of course, he's part of Aces and Eights now, in TNA. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that came out of Deep South that did some really good work and really good business with the Fed. And it's just a testament to, in my opinion, Bill DeMott. You know, I know Tom Pritchard took over towards the end, but as far as I'm concerned, those guys were Bill's boys. And, you know, he groomed them. And I mean, OVW also. I mean, you know, you don't see guys coming out of FCW that are becoming really major stars now. you know. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't pay attention enough. But if I go ahead and count the guys that have come out of Deep South and OVW opposed to what FCW is producing now, it's night and day. You know, the guys were all cookie cutter. They all look the same. And, you know, but the guys that were coming out of Deep South, these guys were wrestlers, man. You know, so
yeah.
These guys were wrestlers. From the word go, there was no doubt, you know.
Do you still have any contact with anyone at WWE? Do you think there's any chance you might?
I kind of do. I mean, I came up with Jamie Noble, but, you know, we kind of lost contact over the years. And, you know, I still know Bill, and I think Bill's still kind of involved with FCW a little bit. I know Billy Gunn has taken over there. I know Kip real well. But, you know, honestly, and this isn't even being that guy, honestly, if I'm going to get a job somewhere at this stage and what I'm looking to do, I think TNA is probably my best bet, you know, right now, and especially where I live. I'm actually looking at Universal Studios right now out the window, you know, and I know TNA isn't there anymore, of course, because, you know, they're going on the road, so that's great. But nonetheless, I mean, I was at TNA for a few years off and on doing spot work, so they know who I am. But if I'm going to get a job somewhere at this stage, especially with the shape that I'm in right now, in the best shape of my life, I think TNA will be my best bet.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a much easier schedule, too, it seems like. And they're doing some great stuff now, I think.
Yeah, they've really come a long way. I mean, it's, but, you know, again, they've done a lot of trial and error, you know, over the last couple of years. You know, they've tried a lot of things that failed, you know. But then again, so did Vince. You know, so the WWE, I mean, everyone's got to, you got to throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks. You know, not everything is going to be a home run hit. And, you know, I think they're starting to really gauge and use their young guys the way they should be used, you know, which is something that I know a lot of people call TNA WCW Lite, which is something WCW did horrible at, to use their young guys. You know, they did terrible at that.
Yeah.
You know, the TNA guys like Wes Briscoe, another friend of mine, you know, he's becoming a huge star, you know, in TNA. And, you know, looks like $1 million, you know. And, you know, the guy can go, you know, and they're using him the right way, you know. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Creek and Deacon, you know, I don't even know what the hell they call him in TNA now. I know that sounds terrible, but. Okay, Doc, yeah. I'm sure I'll get a text later on. Thanks, I appreciate that. but you know, they're using him the right way, you know. And it's good to see, you know.
Yeah, well, we are pretty much out of time, and I see The Undertaker on TV, so I'm curious to find out what that's about. So I appreciate you calling, and good luck in the 15 shows that you have coming up the next 2 weeks.
Tomorrow, in the 7 shows you're working tomorrow, I wish you the best.
Thanks, guys, and you guys have a great rest of your night. Larry Goodman, I'll hopefully talk to you soon. You guys all take care.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for tonight. Next week, I believe, Bobby Cannon will be calling, the UIW, current UIW champion. He's got a big tag team match, doesn't he, Matt?
Yes, that is absolutely correct, on the 16th.
Okay, and that is UIW's big show, where DDP and Jake the Snake Roberts will be there, and I believe every title's probably on the line. And then I'm not sure who else we got lined up for next week. We haven't confirmed it yet. But next week we'll be back at 7 as usual. And, Larry, I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Any shows of particular interest this weekend?
Well, I'm kind of curious about that WrestleForce show in South Carolina. I might venture over. Of course, that's on Saturday night. And, of course, Anarchy on Saturday, Rampage on Sunday. And then the 16th, UIW, I'm going to be there for the big show. I understand even maybe DeWitt Dawson is going to be at that show, so I've got to venture out to Villa Rica.
Oh, I believe he's part of the Empire.
I'm positive that he will be raising antics and doing what they do. There'll be a lot of familiar faces on that show for a lot of people that, you know, list this show a lot. And you can get to Porterdale, you can see PCW crown a new champion, and have plenty of time to get over to Villa Rica.
That's right.
Double shot it.
Hell, make it a double shot.
Wrestlers are double shotting. We can, too.
That's right.
I think that needs to be on a T-shirt. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Monday. and that outro is not playing.
Fair.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.